and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The election is now 6 days away, and the presidential candidates are making last-minute pitches to undecided voters. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story from the campaign trail.
Vice President Kamala Harris, before her largest campaign crowd yet, gave her closing argument in the same place former President Donald Trump gave his January 6th speech.
This is someone who is unstable, obsessed with revenge.
Trump took to the stage in Allentown, Pennsylvania shortly after, trying to woo Latino voters in the wake of a self-described insult comic at his Sunday rally, calling Puerto Rico an island of garbage.
I will deliver the best future for Puerto Ricans and for Hispanic Americans.
Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio was at the rally in Allentown and responded to a remark by President Biden referring to Trump supporters as garbage.
We are not garbage. We are patriots who love America. And thank you for running, Mr. President.
Mr. Biden posted to X he was referring to the remark by the comedian on Sunday. Police in Oregon and Washington state say they found the words "Free Gaza" on devices found at the scenes of ballot box fires in both states. Hundreds of ballots were destroyed in Vancouver. Police still searching for a suspect. Spain's King Felipe calls it devastating. At least 51 people in the eastern portion of the country have been killed in massive flooding.
Red alert in the Valencia region, where a month's worth of rain fell in 1 hour. Rescuers call out to victims wading through flooded streets. Roads and towns were submerged in minutes. Phone footage appears to show some people trapped by the floodwaters and climbing into trees to avoid being swept away. And Valencia's governor says many people remain trapped in inaccessible areas. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The U.S. government will release an economic scorecard for the third quarter this morning. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
For the entire year of 2024, the economy is expected to show growth of around 2.5% to maybe 2.7% or 2.8%. We'll really have to see how the holiday season shapes up and whether consumers continue to spend freely.
After a long battle with MS, actress Terry Garr has died.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
She was a scene stealer in Young Frankenstein and nominated for an Oscar for Tootsie.
I never said, I love you, I don't care about I love you. I read The Second Sex, I read The Cinderella Complex. I just don't like to be lied to.
Her co-star Dustin Hoffman says Garr was brilliant. She was 79. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
A Brewers coach signs an extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers have renewed the contract of pitching coach Chris Hook. The 56-year-old Hook, who has worked his way up in the organization for 20 years, signed a multi-year extension with the team yesterday. He's credited with developing the team's young pitching talent. The Yankees won Game 4 of the World Series last night in New York, 11-4 over the Dodgers. Game 5 is tonight, Los Angeles leading 3-1. NBA, the Bucks are in Memphis. They face the Grizzlies tomorrow night on Halloween. The NFL trade deadline is coming up next Tuesday. Yesterday, the Packers signed linebacker Jamin Davis to their practice squad. Davis had been a first-round pick for Washington 3 years ago and was asked how familiar he is with the Packers.
Ironically, I got a chance to watch him a little bit last year, and it's crazy now that I might actually get an opportunity to play for him. But currently, I'm just honestly soaking everything all in, and hopefully I can get to work and just watch as much film as possible.
That's Packers linebacker Jamin Davis with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Need more Nick Offerman in your TV viewing life? Yes, please. Variety reports Nick will join Elle Fanning and Michelle Pfeiffer in the new Apple TV show, Margo's Got Money Troubles. Fanning plays a woman desperate for money who starts an OnlyFans site. Been there. Offerman plays her father, a retired pro wrestler, and Pfeiffer plays her mother, a Hooters waitress. The show is based on the Ruth Thorpe novel of the same name that was just recently released. The first season will offer 8 episodes. In a recent interview with the Associated Press, Hugh Grant says he killed 3 people. Of course, he did so, whimsically, and with that adorable accent and toothy grin. Grant is trying to get people's attention to go see his new movie, Heretic, in which he plays a creepy character named Mr. Reed. Grant appears to be moving on from his rom-com roles and looking for darker parts. I'm not saying the 64-year-old actor actually killed three people, but saying you did so in an effort to promote a movie really is the perfect cover. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Some big changes on the way today. It'll be windy, mostly cloudy with afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Falling temperatures, too, will drop to the mid-60s by late afternoon. Rain tonight, showers, windy, much colder tomorrow. We could get an inch and a half or more of rain with temperatures dropping into the low 40s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 30th, 2024. Just 6 days away now until Election Day, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media. Hope you have battened down the hatches sufficiently for that wind that just keeps blowing out of the south and out of the southwest. And it will not be too much longer before it's blowing straight out of the north. And we are going to have a big change in the weather coming, sadly, just in time for trick-or-treating, but that's not a surprise. Halloween just has been this way for as long as we can remember, and so just remember that the weather you're experiencing today is not the way to dress the kids for Halloween tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot different by then. I got a question for you. Does Ron Johnson know that we know the role that he played in Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the election? I mean, he tries to play dumb, but does he know that we know that he was very nearly a mule for fraudulent ballots from fake electors, and that if Mike Pence had gone along with this scheme as an accessory, Ron Johnson would have been an accessory? I ask because, of course, lacking that self-awareness, Ron Johnson's out there making noise about, you know, Democrats are already cheating in this election, and Donald Trump is talking about Democrats are already cheating in this election. When, like 4 years ago, there's no cheating. There's no cheating going on. The only cheating going on are the people who are trying to undermine public confidence in our elections. So we'll talk a bit about that. We'll talk about a comment that Trump made yesterday about the economy and how Wall Street's only doing well because he's running for president. Really? Let's look at the record. We'll see what the record has to say about that. Along the way, call or text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Also coming up today, we have our climate check report with Melissa Baldoff, and we will be joined by the superintendent for the Northland Pines School District. That school district up north has been involved with solar energy projects for 20 years now. But the Biden-Harris Inflation Reduction Act is making it even easier for them to continue to embrace renewable sources of energy, which saves on the utility bill, which saves for the property taxpayers up in the Northland Pines District. So we will talk more about that. In our second hour, we will talk to State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. We're going to be talking about literacy. It's important to note that we've talked a lot about the school referendums and the way that the Republican-led legislature led to the conditions that have all these referendums, but we haven't said enough lately about the conditions that the Republican legislature gave school districts when it comes to literacy programs. They're requiring a new literacy program But now they're holding back the funds to actually pay for it. They are quite literally embracing an unfunded mandate, perhaps because they lack the literacy skills to read state law, the thing that they are supposed to be responsible for. We will hear from Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, who has been meeting with some of the VIPs crisscrossing Wisconsin on behalf of the Harris Walz campaign and on behalf of Tammy Baldwin. And tomorrow on this program, you'll hear from one of those surrogates, California Congressman Adam Schiff. I spoke with him last night as he was in Wisconsin doing some campaigning for Senator Baldwin, and we'll have that interview for you tomorrow morning. And finally, today, we'll talk to Todd Alba. He's on a bus tour across Wisconsin, talking about things that make Wisconsin great in this final week before the election, when choices are made that could either help or hinder that greatness. You don't need me to tell you, I will anyway, early voting is underway, and you can learn more about it either at the Up North News Voting Guide, upnorthnewswi.com, or the Civic Media Voting Guide, civicmedia.us. You really should check them both out. And in both cases, they'll also point you to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website, myvote.wi.gov, where you can learn how you can still this week vote. You can already have your vote cast. I don't know this for certain, but I believe the number of early votes cast, I want to look at yesterday's number here really quick. Yesterday's number was 989,678. So yes, it will, when the new numbers are released in a couple of hours here, we will be able to confirm that more than 1 million people in Wisconsin have already voted. They've already cast their votes. Do not have to pay attention to the political ads or the mailers anymore. Although it's tough not to, because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Let's welcome in Greg Bach from Radio Park down in Racine, part of the Civic Media Empire. And you notice that his hands are empty, which means he's not been to his mailbox lately. Greg, I was with at a neighborhood little get-together last night, and all people could talk about was just yesterday alone, one of our neighbors had 10 mailers in their mailbox, political mailers. And they're looking at me, of course, with political experience, like, you know, doctor, help me. What can I do about this? And I told them, and I've mentioned this once or twice, but as soon as you, people don't like to talk to pollsters, people don't like to talk to canvassers, but as soon as they know that you are pretty much a straight confirmed Republican or Democrat, at least one side leaves you alone. You cut the amount of communication in half. But here's the trade-off. As soon as one side or the other knows you're confirmed with them, you get that many more text messages asking for money. So yeah, I can help you with the mail. I can't help you with the text messages. It just is what it is. What are you getting down there?
I'm getting tons of both sides. I had a couple come to my house, I don't know, like a month and a half ago. I was working in the garage, and I just said, I'll save you the time. I'm voting for Kamala Harris. I'm voting Democrat. My wife is, too. And I didn't say that on behalf of her as, like, she's voting the way I vote. Right. I just knew she was voting. So don't at me. And I thought, all right, we're good to go. Well, that same guy, the guy of the couple, came to my door last week with stuff for me. And I'm like, oh. And then on Sunday, this very nice young woman knocked on my door, and I just want to be like, I'm voting on Tuesday.
See, and that's the part that's going on right now. Yeah. People are like, wait, I've declared, I've told them I'm voting.
Yes.
But you know what you're getting now? You're getting, have you voted yet?
Oh, yeah.
Have you voted yet?
I have voted.
Have you voted yet?
And when I brought the trash bins in yesterday, but then I also checked the mail after that. And as I'm walking from the mailbox to the trash bin, I'm just like, check out, voted. All right, voted. Never Hovde. Yeah, it's just all the paper wasted. I'm not going to lie. All the paper wasted on me, at least.
Overall.
I mean, we both worked in politics. We both worked in campaigns. I don't know a person who has ever said, I'm going to vote for this guy. This is a really nice mailer.
Yes. It's the kind of thing that you actually should do mail early on if you're a challenger, if you're unfamiliar to people, you know, and get your face out there and get your name out there.
But this mail that comes in late like this is an absolute waste. And it really should be, in my mind, it should be more positive, if it's going to come at all, is to strike this positive tone, because we're already getting plenty of negative as it is. You know,
and you anger people too. I remember getting calls saying, if I get one more piece of mail, either I got two of them, the next piece of mail I get from you, I'm voting for the other guy, or whomever sends me the next piece of mail, I'm voting for the other guy. Like just never mind that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Which by the way, is not the way to determine how you should vote, but I understand the anger. I definitely understand the frustration. We'll talk a bit, or we'll hear a bit from Vice President Kamala Harris in just a bit, who had a rally on the Ellipse in the Capitol last night, and it was quite a sight. They were thinking maybe 20,000 people, then 30,000 people, and the total crowd estimate is anywhere from 60,000 to 70,000 people. And Greg, she stood at the very same spot in the Ellipse where Donald Trump stood on January 6, 2021. And apparently Kamala Harris's mob did not light torches and pitchforks. They did not storm the Capitol. They did not beat up on law enforcement officers. So it can be done.
Yeah.
You can gather and listen to somebody and not try to overthrow the government.
They had spillover at the Washington Monument, too. And what was it? I wanted to put this on Twitter, but I'm like, this is not going to work as a joke. But in my head, I'm like, please don't tell anyone that she had a bigger crowd than he did on January 6th.
Oh, God. Oh, no. No. And if you look at somebody put together, you know, kind of a mashup between the speech that she gave in that location versus the speech Trump gave in that location. And one, of course, is uplifting and talking about the greatness of America. And the other is, you know, we're the garbage can for the world and you got to fight like hell and everything else about it. And it's such a contrast that I believe continues to turn people off. But, you know, we won't know for sure until next week.
I agree.
A real study in contrast. And again, we'll play that clip coming up in just a moment here. First at 6:17, let me tell you a bit about sports. There will be a game 5 in the World Series, as the Yankees did finally win a game and beat the Dodgers 11-4 at Yankee Stadium. The Dodgers are still up 3-1. Game 5 will be this evening at 7 o'clock. If the Yankees win that one, whether they do or not, the next game will be Saturday in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, Friday in Los Angeles, and again Saturday if necessary. The Packers will host the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. 3:25 is the kickoff on Sunday. And you'll be able to catch that game on Civic Media radio stations that include WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. Also on Saturday, the Wisconsin Badger football team is at Iowa. Pre-game at 4:30 Saturday afternoon, and you can hear the game on the Civic Media app. So get that app downloaded, and you can listen to Badger football. Let's see, the Milwaukee Bucks play at Memphis tomorrow. The Badger volleyball team, the women, have a big match against Nebraska, second-ranked in the nation. That's coming up Friday evening. All right, we'll unpack some more of the news and then our climate check not long after that, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Wrightlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they-them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Time to take a stand. Join Shirley's House of Hope for their 16th annual Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th, 5:30 p.m. at Hotel Marshfield. Four area chefs will face off to benefit Shirley's House of Hope and the women and children healing from domestic abuse and addiction. There's also a silent and live auction. Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th. Tickets and information at shirleyshouseofhope.org. Thank you to the team at WIRI and WFHR Radio for being an event sponsor.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Of course, The Temptations with one of the many hits from hit-making machine. I have to go find it again. Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing. Let me find it here. Holland Dozier Holland. I couldn't get my H's and my D's right over here. Holland Dozier Holland, the production team of songwriters, had that tune and so many more. They and The Temptations intersect in today's history lesson coming up in just 30 minutes, said Pat, needing more coffee. The Up North News Daily newsletter is out. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click subscribe in the top banner and learn about the alumni effect. What is it that's preventing the teaching shortage from getting even worse in many Wisconsin school districts? It's more folks want to come back to their hometown. They may go away to college. They may even take a job or two, but then at some point decide that they are ready to come home and teach the kids there in their community, or maybe in another community in Wisconsin. So learn more about the alumni effect in our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. All right. As mentioned, there was this gathering in the nation's capital yesterday by Vice President Kamala Harris, talking to an overflow crowd near the White House, promising that she would fight for them every day and urging voters to reject Donald Trump's efforts to sow division and fear. Let's give a little bit of a listen to some of her remarks from last night.
America, for too long, we have been consumed with too much division, chaos, and mutual distrust. And it can be easy then to forget a simple truth. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. It is time to stop pointing fingers. We have to stop pointing fingers and start locking arms. It is time to turn the page on the drama and the conflict, the fear and division. It is time for a new generation of leadership in America. And I am ready to offer that leadership as the next president of the United States.
So there's a little bit of the vice president delivering remarks yesterday. Donald Trump, meanwhile, had some extremely low energy remarks that he made at Mar-a-Lago before he went to campaign in Pennsylvania. And I wanted to address specifically one comment of his where he's trying to claim credit for what's happening on Wall Street. Give a little bit of listen to former President Trump yesterday.
Destruction of our economy. Our economy is not, this is just, it's like a fake economy. Some of the best people on Wall Street are saying the economy is only good because they think, I don't want to say this because other people have said it. It's not me saying it, but they think Trump is going to get elected. That's the only reason our economy is good. That's the only reason the stock market is up.
I sometimes play these things just for Greg's reaction, when whether he puts his face in one hand or two hands, depending on the soundbite. In this particular case, we got both hands there at the very end.
I know, so it's radio. I know dead radio is the nightmare of all programming directors, but
no, sometimes it does speak volumes. Yes. So
it's just that, I mean, you're right. The energy, and then even the audience is like, it felt like there were 30 people there. And I'm not saying that to be a jerk either. It's just, he's like, yeah, the economy is terrible. It's just,
but it has nothing to do with anticipation of him. Let's look at the record. On the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, January 20th, 2021, okay, almost 4 years ago now, on the day he was inaugurated, the Dow Jones Industrial Average set a record high, 30,829. So by the time he was inaugurated, the Dow had already recovered its losses from the pandemic. Did it just bump along for the past 4 years, pining for Donald Trump to come back? It did not. There were other things to deal with. For example, there was inflation. The Dow set new record highs 45 times in 2021, but that was a very rapid recovery. And as a result, there was inflation. So in 2022, there were nearly no records at all on Wall Street, as the recovery from the pandemic included inflation that was seen in every country. It was the easiest thing to predict, and it wasn't fun. But steps were taken that gave the U.S. a better recovery than every other country on earth. Eric Hovde and others want to tell you that it caused inflation. It did not. It rescued this economy from what would have been a much longer, slower recovery. So it took nearly 2 years, but the Dow reached a new record high at the end of 2023, crossing 37,000. And now in 2024, Donald Trump has been a candidate the entire year. Did Wall Street just bump along this year, pining for Trump to come back? It did not. But you don't hear about it much, do you? I mean, if I asked you right now, how many times has the Dow Jones Industrial Average set a new record high in 2024? Would you even fathom a guess? Because I'll tell you, 45 times. 45 records this year. It reached 40,000, then 41,000, then 42,000, and 2 weeks ago, closing over 43,000. Again, it was just under 31,000 when Biden was inaugurated. Now, as they like to say on Wall Street, past performance is not indicative of future results. But for those who keep up this nonsense that Trump was somehow better on the economy and would be again, you've only missed 45 occasions this year alone to see how Wall Street is liking the idea that you make smart investments in the economy and that slashing government investment in Americans instead would be like eating your seed corn. It's penny wise, but extremely pound foolish. But that's Donald Trump trying to fool people into thinking that he'd be better on the economy when the record doesn't reflect that in any way, shape, or form. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melissa Baldoff, and she's bringing along the superintendent from Northland Pines School District up north that for 20 years has been a leader in solar energy installation. And it's a great way to take care of the utility bills, reduce the burden on property taxpayers. And now with the Biden-Harris Inflation Reduction Act, it's been made even easier to create jobs and save money. That's coming up next. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Dairy markets haven't showed a lot of enthusiasm going into the holidays. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. But Ryan Yonkman, a broker analyst with EverAg, believes there's still hope out there. Stand by.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Although we haven't seen a lot of holiday buying action lately, Ryan Yonkman, a broker analyst with EverAg, says it's still happening.
The idea of holiday orders, you know, we're in our prime time. It's a very real thing. And at this point in time, Thanksgiving orders should be pretty well wrapped up. So we're now really the focus already is on Christmas and even the beginning of Super Bowl demand, which we more or less peg as, you know, about another month. So we've probably got about another 4 weeks here domestically to really feel the bulk of our holiday push, our holiday orders.
Ryan Yonkman, broker analyst with EverAg. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese did gain 2 cents at 189. 40-pound block cheese was down a half at 189.5, while AA butter gained a penny and a half at 269 a pound. How are the rest of the commodity markets trading? Those numbers are next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation.
Well, an overnight electronic trade going into a Wednesday morning. December corn's unchanged right now at 4.13. November soybeans are up a nickel at 9.70. December wheat currently 3 cents stronger at 5.73, with March wheat up to 5.92. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 4, 2018 a hundredweight. The December milk currently down 9, 1985 a hundredweight. Hey, just another quick reminder, April 2025, we're headed to Spain and Portugal on our next farm tour. Great sites that we'll be learning about Iberian hog production, also the cattle that they produce for the matadors in Spain, the wine industry, olive production, and cork. Find out more. Go to holidayvacations.com. Enter my name, Pam, under the keyword search. I am Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some big changes on the way today. It'll be windy, mostly cloudy with afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Falling temperatures, too, will drop to the mid-60s by late afternoon. Rain tonight, showers, windy, much colder tomorrow. We could get an inch and a half or more of rain with temperatures dropping into the low 40s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she's a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. We'll find out how she is feeling heading into the election. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. And we'll end with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It's electric.
Welcome back. It is 6:34. It's time for our weekly climate check with our friend Melissa Baldoff. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing well as myself, and looking forward to talking to somebody who truly is at the ground level with things that you can do in green energy sectors long before the Inflation Reduction Act came along. The Northland Pines School District has been a leader, going back almost 20 years here.
Yes. We know that there are so many things, really exciting things happening in communities around Wisconsin. And oftentimes really exciting things happening in our schools have been kind of pioneering some of what's possible when it comes to renewable energies, when it comes to helping to save money by thinking about what's possible when it comes to, installing solar panels or, thinking about how to be more energy efficient and then thinking about how to incorporate that into a curriculum. So I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about what's happening in one of the school districts here in Wisconsin, and to welcome our guest today, Scott Foster with the Northland Pines School District.
Hey, Scott, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Now, you said you've been with the district about 25 years, but not all of them as district administrator.
No, this is my seventh year as district administrator.
Okay. But obviously, if we go way back, and some of your material talks about this, that the school district there up north has been embracing solar for 20 some years now, and that this dates back to 2004, planning for a new high school that would have renewable energy. So, I mean, we know that this has been part of the conversation for a very long time. Can you talk about just the mindset up there going that far back that has always been embracing of renewable energy and why you chose to pursue that route?
Sure. We had the fortunate or unfortunate need to build a new high school, and our community supported that financially and by passing a referendum, and that created an opportunity. So I think our partners at Huffman Corporation and our local community said, what could we think about outside the box? And also, what's planned for the long term? We came from a high school that did not last very long, only 35 years. So pretty sad for a building to last that long. So we needed to do better. And it wasn't just nice classrooms. It was, how do we impact our own environment and our own culture for a very long time? So when that building opened, we looked at wind energy, solar, geothermal, all the ways that we could impact long-term budgets, but also make our footprint as small as possible. We were ultimately recognized for the building of the school as one of the first, and maybe even the first, high school that was called LEED Gold Certified, which means you met a lot of very high-end standards of creating a building that would be energy efficient. So maybe when the door opened, we didn't have solar immediately and we didn't have wind. We're right next to an airport, so wind got taken out very quickly. But we prepared a building that was energy efficient, built to make sure heating and cooling costs would be kept down. So I think sometimes that gets forgotten about. But also knowing that solar would be in our future, and making sure we had the plans so that it could be added when the time was right. And that's where the journey went to adding solar.
So you've got that at Northland Pines High School, the middle school. There was work done at Eagle River Elementary School, Land O'Lakes Elementary School, St. Germain Elementary School. So this is not just some kind of feel-good demonstration project. This has been a full-on commitment.
This has been a commitment for this and the use of energy, being really engaged as school board. We have a great leader of our buildings and ground and Dave Bonin, community people that saw the long-term value. Probably what else is unique in our story, and I think it goes for other schools and businesses and other groups, is we have three different campuses within our district. We have 477 square miles. So we have 1,350 students, but we cover a lot of territory. And ironically, we have three different energy companies, and we have solar on all three campuses and done in three different ways. And I think that's been a unique thing when people call to talk about solar. They want to know our model. Well, we've had to do a model that works for best in each location and with each power company, and how things have changed. You mentioned, the change with giving schools and public people, the public entities, the opportunity for tax credits. That did not exist when the high school was done. So our situation in Eagle River, we had a partner with local or with some business owners or financial backing to get our solar here so those tax credits could go to them and then work us into the solar plan. In Land O'Lakes, that power company is not interested in third-party partnerships and refused to let us do that. So we couldn't use the same model, and we had to switch to a model where we leased them the land and they put the solar on site and committed. It took years. Our board was very determined. And finally, in St. Germain, the world has changed, and these opportunities for us to own our own system and also to put in batteries. So we've always discussed batteries on the Eagle River campus, but we didn't want that commitment until we knew it worked. So St. Germain, our newest installation, does have batteries and some new technology that will allow us to make better decisions of where we go with Eagle River campus on either adding or adding batteries at some point.
That's really exciting. And, you know, you talked a little bit about the tax credits, which is, you know, great to see that there's those, you know, kind of upfront savings. But what kind of savings are you guys realizing, you know, kind of year to year with this transition? And it, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little harder. We have the exact data in Eagle River is there. But the way the partnership works is we're in the short term, we're basically covering energy costs with them. And that really has made a positive impact. Just like in many solar, the payback in that 10 to 12 year window is when we'll really see the cost savings back exactly. We're still in that partnership to pay for the system. St. Germain, Land O'Lakes is the simplest one. We get a monthly check. It is factored in how much energy it produces, but it's really a static cost that we get in return. So that one we monitor. It's got educational value. It is helping our taxpayers by getting money back. But you know, that one it's not as tied to the economics. The one in St. Germain is the one we're noticing the biggest difference right away. You know, we built it differently. It is a ground mount system. It has ability to shed snow at a better way. Last winter did not have much snow up here, unfortunately. So some of the modeling has been a little tricky because we didn't get as much snow. It has ability to collect rays from the back and then the battery. So one of the aha moments last week, Dave and I were talking and the energy company called and said, "Hey, you haven't had any high demand use charges." And it was like, "Oh yeah, that's because our batteries are keeping us out of those high demand use changes." You know, that's, you know, $1,400-$1,500 instantly that we're saving over and over and over. You know, we're trying to measure the impact of the batteries. But you know, the first couple months of our St. Germain solar, so we do give out our energy every month to our finance committee. So they've had years of data to look at. And that line went down so low that we kind of had to wait and see over time, make it notice that it's a difference. Because one of the pros and cons of solars with school a little bit is we don't have a ton of summer school classes. So you really want to, you know, our high demand on the Eagle River campus with the big chillers is really our biggest issue with energy use. St. Germain and Land O'Lakes don't have as much summer school, so they don't see that use. So it's the school year now that we've been in school, September, October, we're starting to really notice that savings. So it's in the thousands of dollars over time. And with that system payback through the donations, the IRA and the other aspects, our board should see the savings for years to come.
So you've outlined some of the systems that you have here, and I see mentioned as well carport solar, which I know we're seeing more of in some communities that essentially put these, you know, solar panels above parking lots to provide some shelter for the car. Is that something that is in the works as well, or is that just a discussion item for possible future wish lists?
It's in our long-range planning. We have two options we're looking at. We're looking at outdoor learning areas where we would have, normally somebody might buy just a roof, you know, open air learning outdoor classroom space. We have amazing outdoor spaces and land, including a school forest. If you're going to build those structure, why not put solar on top of it? There is some partnerships that go with that and grants available to do that, but also brings electricity to areas that maybe we would not be able to in some of our more rural settings up here in Eagle River area. So, yeah, we have carports currently that were built a while ago that don't have them, but We've discussed the way they're situated of maybe that would be a next step there. And then the outdoor classroom, the pavilions and different spaces that have that is one of our partners on the St. Germain project did help is providing those around the state. And we've seen some model of those like in Marathon City where we're looking at those opportunities as well.
And speaking of classrooms, another question I have is, you know, what do the kids think about this? Is this interesting to them when they, you know, kind of look around and see things that, you know, look a little bit different about their school than a lot of the buildings they see or different places?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting thing will be over time because, you know, since we've had solar on the Eagle River campus the longest, those students have only known schools should have solar. So as they go through life, they might find out that not every school has it, even if they go off to college. So I think our kids are intrigued by it. We do try to integrate it into some learning in our science, everyday life, classroom math, just even some science fair. Our Dave Bonin does do some work with our students as well. But I think it's kind of a great thing that eventually our kids may just see it as the norm instead of being unique and special.
Yeah, I have to think that, and maybe there's nothing but anecdotal evidence at this point, but you may have, now that it's been all these years that you've been involved, you may have graduates already who have become homeowners and are more amenable to, you know, having solar at their homes, or maybe there have been graduates who've moved on to taking, you know, courses that would lead them to be electricians or installers or anything like that. It just feels like you've opened up new worlds for your graduates.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's just such an amazing career opportunity. I think of one of our students that attended Soar Middle School, which is a project-based middle school, and then attended Northland Pines High School. So the mindset of thinking and project-based learning and mindset of environment, which Soar Middle School has a strong background in, he has gone on to electrical engineering, and really one of the focus areas he believes is these alternative energy sources and possibly solar directly. And as we have found through these projects, especially the early ones, the need for high quality installers and people to work in industry is a great demand because it's hard, just like anything. You got to have quality people supporting it and installing and problems troubleshooting. So I do think he's just one example. I think others are on the pathway as well. And I think that's going to be a real positive for hopefully we can be part of the solution for future workers in this important industry in Wisconsin.
Sure sounds like it. And by the way, to engage in shameless self-promotion, when we resume Climate Check 3 weeks from today, Melissa's going to bring along a guest from the IBEW, a journeyman electrician, who's going to talk about all the many careers in there. Melissa, and it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity ahead, especially with the Inflation Reduction Act going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked before about how many great new jobs there are in the clean energy sector. And I just think it's so important to talk about those wonderful career paths and how many opportunities there are. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. And Scott Foster, the superintendent up at Northland Pines there, thank you so much for giving us just a great history lesson on how solar continues to evolve for those who've embraced it in school districts like yours. Thanks for taking time with us today.
Thanks for having me. And on this, I think it's a great topic and a great place to save our taxpayers' money, but also make the environment better and help our students learn.
All right. And Melissa, when I talk to you next week, you're going to have your political strategist hat on, and we'll talk about the election results and things like that. But thanks for everything today.
Thank you.
We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Tune in to WFHR on Thursday, October 31st from 4 to 6 p.m. for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire radio station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories and creepy poems performed by your favorite on-air hosts, along with seasonal music to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. It's 2 hours of hair-raising hijinks and ghoulish glee from 4 to 6 p.m. on Halloween night, only on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Twas on this day, 86 years ago, that Orson Welles broadcast a radio adaptation of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds. And as you could hear right there, you know, it was mentioned from the very beginning, this is an adaptation of a book. This is the usual Mercury Radio Theater that's broadcast at this time. But then through use of, you know, fictitious news alerts and bulletins and fake interviews and people who didn't catch the four different times during the hour that they announced that it was fictitious, you had mass panic and hysteria in some parts of the United States. And then the media at the time really blew it up out of proportion. But it caused a scene. It caused a stir that we're still talking about all these years later in today's history lesson with our regular Wednesday friend, Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am delightful.
Do you? Of course you are.
yeah, of course.
I mean, come on, duh. You know. Do you feel like not at a network level with all the bells and whistles and everything, but do you feel like at a local radio station you could recreate something like that, that you could get the community riled up and thinking something was real, or is everybody too cynical and savvy now?
You know, I would hesitate to do that. I would hate to do that because, you know, our listeners trust us.
Yes.
So I wouldn't want to, mm-hmm. but I mean, I guess I don't know. People are skeptical nowadays because so much is thrown at them. There's so much crazy out there that I personally read every headline and go, well, maybe.
Right?
Until everything I see like it that. Six other places and then go to a trusted news source and check it out.
Yes. By the way, Robin Tigerton jumping on early on Facebook to say good morning, Melissa. I hope you have a wonderful day. Always nice to have the listeners chiming in. Mm-hmm. Let's get to today's birthdays, and they include Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, Starship. Grace Slick is 85 years old today. Trying to figure out if she's made any appearances lately, and if she at age 85 could still belt this out. But then again, I would have done a better job of queuing it up to the part where she's singing, wouldn't I?
Okay, thank you.
How did you not pick Jane?
I don't know. Weren't you just telling me in the commercial break our brains are absolute mush right now, six days before the election?
Also, Jane is like our outro song on the show at 10 a.m. So it's,
I suppose.
Yeah, you're good.
I don't want to confuse people.
So Grace Lick is 85. Eddie Holland is 84. Eddie Holland is part of the legendary Holland Dozier Holland production team. These three gentlemen wrote songs for Motown from 1962 to 1967. We played one earlier by the Temptations, but there was Baby Love by the Supremes, Stop in the Name of Love, You Keep Me Hanging On, Heat Wave, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, Standing in the Shadows of Love. Just an absolute hit factory from people like Eddie Holland, who is 84 years old today. Timothy B. Schmidt of the Eagles is 77.
Mellow today.
Isn't it? Yeah, we need that. I jumped ahead. I mentioned Eddie Holland writing songs for the Temptations. Otis Williams from the Temptations is 83 years old today. Oh. The Fonz, Henry Winkler, is 79 today.
Thumbs up, baby.
And was recently in Milwaukee, visited the Fonz, the bronze Fonz statue there in Milwaukee. Ivanka Trump is 43. This is the anniversary of the birth of our second president, John Adams. The number one song this day in 1982 was by a new Australian band on the scene, Men at Work.
Dump, dump, bump, bump. Good day, everybody. This is Men at Work with their hit single, Who Can It Be Now?
It says here it was the group's first number one hit. But I'm pretty sure, wasn't The Land Down Under was what was released first and must not have gone to number one, as I can tell.
Yes, Pat, that's exactly right. You got it right. Yep. You got it right there, mate. This band is crackers. I love them. I love them. We should play them all day.
How did I not know you could do such a good Aussie accent?
You never asked.
We're going to... I sense we're about to have a staffing change here at Up North News Radio. We're about to add an Australian intern. So,
intern, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me big time.
Like I said, we're going to have to do some workshopping on the character development. On this day in 1987, George Michael, having left Wham, released his first solo album. Here's the title track. The album Faith was a hit machine with I Want Your Sex, Father Figure, the title track, went to number one in the U.S. and won the Grammy for Album of the Year. Very short list on the National Day calendar today. It's National Publicist Day. It's National Checklist Day. Check. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, I have so many checklists, guys.
So many checklists. And one that I should be boycotting, but I read these things. It's National Candy Corn Day.
Oh. Oh, Seth at our station loves candy corn, so we give him all the candy corn and kind of all the fun about it, too.
And at some point, I'll talk to my daughters today and tell the same joke I've told since they were little girls, that all of the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1917. And, you know, a few of them get eaten. The rest get collected and just redistributed the next year. And when they were little girls, I thought it was really funny.
Do you give credit to Lewis Black when you say that?
No, did he steal that from me?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know what, Pat? Yes. Yes, he did.
I kind of figured. I've been saying it long before Lewis Black came on the scene. Melissa Kay, great to have you here from 97.5 WFHR, 105.5 WIR in Wisconsin Rapids. Yeah, you have a wonderful day and a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
State Senator Chris Larson and reporter Elizabeth Montemurro join us in the second hour of Up North News Radio next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I discuss independent film Green Bay Style. Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival joins me in studio, and then we celebrate Henry Winkler's birthday. Someone has to. With comedian Mike Toomey.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.